Well, if you have your Bible, please do open it. Just at this point, at the passage that we read, Matthew 28. Where the last words of this Gospel of Matthew remind us of those words of Jesus, that all authority on heaven and on earth had been given unto him. And then he said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are far too frozen over at the mouth. We are not frozen over at the mouth with regard to some things, but we are frozen over at the mouth as regards sharing what needs to be shared and talking about what needs to be talked about. When it comes to reaching out with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be frozen over at the mouth. And by the way, did any of you see the film Risen recently? You say to me, "I never heard of it." Well, that's exactly what somebody said to me as I was walking out, having just seen it. "We never heard about this film. There was no talk about it." And we'll try not to go down the road of a conspiracy theory. Like somebody produced this film. It is an excellent film. And if you are wanting a night out at the cinema, if you go to the cinema, go and watch Risen. It is a really fabulous film. And it is about the risen Lord Jesus from the perspective of the centurion who witnessed it all. It is a really marvelous and a wonderful film. So that's enough plugging for the cinema. They gave me £20 to say that. Well, not quite, but it really is a very, very excellent film. And those first disciples, as they witnessed what they witnessed, they were anything but frozen over at the mouth. They could do nothing else but go and tell other people. Even though they didn't fully understand it, they had to speak of the fact that they had seen the risen Lord Jesus. So now that spring has come, exclamation mark, it's sort of again my religion to speak about spring until April. And I had great hopes that April was coming. And lo and behold, the weather has been miserable in the first couple of days, certainly of this weekend. But we are thinking more of spring, and we're thinking more of summer days, dare I say. And those are days when the Church of Jesus Christ, of course not exclusive to those days, but we think about reaching out and we think about sharing the gospel. And I just want this morning on this Sunday after Easter just to remind you of five basic things that we all need to remind ourselves of if we are Christians and if we have a desire in our hearts to pass on something of the good news of the gospel. And the first general thing I would say before I get to the point is that, you know, somebody once said that sharing the gospel or being a witness is like one beggar sharing with another beggar where they can find bread. And that is actually, there's an awful lot of truth in that. An awful lot of truth. So five things. Let me, first of all, just show you, there's the sermon, and you can see those five images there, and the wee man shouting good news, and the Bible, and a picture, an image of the dove, the Holy Spirit, and the word wisdom, and the do it all to the glory of God. And the first thing I just want to focus on, and we'll keep them up there just for a moment, is think about the good news of God. The Christian message is essentially good news. It is good news. And no, I haven't forgotten a few weeks ago the solemn and serious message that I preached on. And I finished with those words of the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And when he was asked, what would you say to this generation as regards God and the gospel and all of these things? And he simply said very solemnly and soberly, flee from the wrath to come. I haven't forgotten that. But you see, the good news is that Christ Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to that the world might be saved through him. The good news of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And essentially, the message of the gospel, and gospel, as you know, literally means good news. The evangel, it is good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Philip to the Ethiopian, you remember on that journey, Philip began with that very passage of scripture that the Ethiopian was reading and began and told him the good news about Jesus. Let me remind you just briefly how we could, and we could spend the rest of the sermon on this. We could spend the rest of the day on this. The good news. For those in this world who are tired and weary, the words of Jesus, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or for those who are feeling that they're failures, and people who maybe feel that they are worthless, there is acceptance and grace in Jesus. For those who feel utterly helpless, the gospel says God helps the helpless. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. When you're at your wit's end and you don't know where to turn or what to do, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, is a great prayer. For the captive, there is deliverance. For the prisoner, there is freedom. For the brokenhearted, there is healing and comfort for all who mourn. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you spiritually thirsty? Jesus stood up on that day. You remember those glorious words and said those wonderful words. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And behold, streams of living water will flow from within him. Are you spiritually hungry this morning? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's all good news. Let me put it another way. For any here today, or maybe somebody who's watching this on the live stream, and people, maybe you feel that you're not good enough. Not good enough? Well, of course you're not good enough. There's none of us good enough. But there is one who is good enough. And I say that because, and I know I've shared this before, I remember a situation where a person said, and my heart broke when I heard it. They said, you know, I never, when I saw you Christians, I never thought I could be good enough to be part of your number. Oh dear. Oh dear. And they were quickly told, please, please, don't ever be thinking that. There's none of us good enough. None of us. Starting with the preacher. For those who feel they couldn't keep it up. Again, that's one of those things that goes around. It's not up to you to keep up anything. The Lord will keep his own. The Lord will keep those whom he saves. For those who aren't fussed on religion. Well, the good news is, it's not religion that is an offer. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus. I'm not so fussed in religion myself, so join the club. For those who feel that they maybe have tried and they've messed up, well, again, join the club. We all mess up. But praise God, there is a second chance and a third chance in the day of grace for all who come back. Are you watching this? Are you listening to this and you feel, you know, Lord, I really messed up. How can I come back? Well, you can come back. That's what the prodigal son, that's the story of the prodigal son. He came back to the father and was received with open arms. The sweetness of grace. The sweetness of grace. Grace is a wonderful, wonderful thing. The good news of the gospel. Folks, why is it that we're so reluctant to share this message? It is good news. It has always been good news. Have we made it into bad news? That's not God's fault. That's our fault. So let us take courage. Let us take courage and let us go to maybe that person in our family or that person in our street or that person in our workplace. And let us pluck up the courage to share something of the good news of the gospel. And let us take courage maybe to go to that person who's maybe always on at you. Maybe they're always ridiculing the gospel. Maybe they're always accusing Christians of this, that, and the other thing. Well, let them accuse. But say to them, you can say what you like, but it doesn't take away from the good news of the gospel that Christ died for sinners, was dead and buried, and he rose again. The good news of the gospel. Second wee picture there is not only the good news of God, the word of God. Christianity is a revealed message. It's not a message that somebody conjured up. It's not a message that somebody thought up. It's a message that has been revealed from heaven itself. Paul put it this way in Galatians 1. The gospel I preach to you, it's not something that man made up. I didn't receive it from man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And those disciples who were frightened, who were hiding away in a room, and suddenly the risen Lord Jesus appeared in their midst. They weren't expecting it. They had such high hopes for the Lord Jesus. And then he had been killed and buried. But the Lord revealed himself to them. And they went out and they began to speak the message. We do not share our own ideas, our own opinions. It's not our gospel. It's not the gospel of a particular church. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we go out and we take our Bibles. We read our Bibles. We take time to meditate upon the Word of God. And we allow that Word of God to saturate our hearts. And then we go out full of that to pass it on to others. Tell me this morning, are you reading the Bible? Why are you not reading the Bible? Why are you here this morning and you're a Christian and you've grown slack in reading the Word of God? This is the Word of God. Do you believe that? As the spring is now upon us, let's make a fresh resolution to get back into the Word of God, to pray that the Holy Spirit would make it live in our hearts and then to send us out with that message. The Word of God. Third thing I want to mention is the wisdom of God. It says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. I'm sure you've discovered in life it's not really important what you do, but the way you do it or how you do it. It's not only important what you say sometimes in life, but how you say it. Isn't that true? You've discovered that in lots of things in life. It's not only what you say to somebody, but it's the way you say it that can make a difference, isn't it? And it is so true in the Christian experience. It is not only important what we say. We share the good news of Jesus Christ, but it is important how we say it. We have to be wise. We have to make the most of every opportunity. Thank the Lord for Guinness. That woke you up. Thank the Lord for Oz Guinness. I meant to bring his book with me this morning, a book that I came across recently. Oz Guinness is an international Christian speaker and author and writer and apologist. He does come from the famous Guinness dynasty, but he is a really world-renowned Christian leader and speaker. And one of his latest books, if you're interested in reading, and if you're interested in reading Christian books, and I'm sorry I left it sitting on the desk, it's called Fool's Talk, Recovering the Art of Christian Persuasion. And I'm just reading it at the moment. I've only really started to read it. But it's a wonderful book, and it's really highlighting the importance and the need for Christians to go out into the public space and to wisely and faithfully and biblically be unafraid to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple of illustrations from the Bible of how we need to be wise. Think of the Apostle Paul when he went to a place called Pisidian Antioch. You can read about it in Acts chapter 13. And he shares the gospel with them. If you read Acts 13, you'll see that he quotes and refers a lot to the Old Testament. Why? Because he was speaking to people who knew the Bible. He was speaking to people who knew what the Word of God was saying. So he communicated to them in that way. If you glance over a few chapters to Acts chapter 17, he's in the city of Athens. And he's speaking to people who didn't know the Bible. They didn't really have a clue about the Bible. And if you look at those two messages, Acts 13, Acts 17, you will see that he says the same thing, but he says it slightly differently. He's speaking, first of all, to people who knew their Bibles, and he communicates in a way that's appropriate. The next time he's speaking to people who had no idea about the Bible. So he speaks to them a little bit different, but he still says the same thing. He still calls upon all of them to repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, in life, and you can see it in Jesus as well. Read John 3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, do you remember way back in the prophecy of Jeremiah, where it speaks of being sprinkled by water? It speaks of the work of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you need to be born of water and the Spirit. And then the next chapter, he's speaking to a smart woman who probably didn't know very much about that. And what does he say to her? He says, "Can you give me a drink?" And she gives him a drink. And she's intrigued. Why is this man even speaking to me? He's meant to hate me. I'm a Samaritan. And then they get into a conversation. And he begins to speak to her about the living water. And she's brought to know the Lord. Folks, the way that we speak to people, and people in your circle, and people maybe from different backgrounds, I don't know. But all I'm saying is that you need to be wise. Think about how you might try to share something of the message with them. Let me put it this way, and I use this language not to label people. That's not what I'm trying to do, or to put people into boxes, but just to acknowledge and to be realistic about the fact that some of our neighbours and people that we interact with are from different backgrounds. The way that you might try to witness to your neighbour who comes from a Protestant background and who is not yet following Jesus may be slightly different from the way that you try to witness to your Catholic friend who doesn't yet know Jesus, which might be slightly different from relating to your Eastern European friend who doesn't yet know Jesus. Do you get the point? We end up saying the same thing. We call people to repent and believe the gospel, but maybe where we start is slightly different. There may be some of your friends who know the Bible inside out, and you can quote chapter and verse to them, and that is wonderful. But there might be some of your friends who haven't the first notion about what the Bible says. You have to think about that. And you have to say to yourself, well, Lord, there's no point in saying go and read that verse, because they maybe don't even have a Bible. They maybe don't even know where to find that chapter, never mind the book. So how can I try and relate to them in a way that points them to Jesus? The wisdom of God. The glory of God. Do it all to the glory of God. And I know that I have quoted the Scotsman William Burns from the 1800s, who, when he was asked by a person who wasn't very sympathetic to the gospel, William Burns was going to China as a missionary. And I know you've heard, some of you will remember me saying this before, but I deliberately share it again because I think it's very touching. And this man, who was very, very cynical, he said to William Burns, he said, Mr. Burns, I suppose you're going to China to try to convert the Chinese. And William Burns said, no, sir. I'm going to China to the glory of God. And that is why we try to share something. Not to promote a church, not to promote this church. That's not the primary reason at all. But to promote the glory of the Lord Jesus. You see, folks, there is something seriously wrong if in any church, whether it's here or anywhere, that we gather and we enjoy singing and we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the praise, we enjoy all of these things, and yet if we go out and from that Sunday moment to the very next Sunday moment, week by week by week, we do not ever speak to somebody about Jesus, there is something wrong. And one of the characteristics of the early church was that they gossiped, not about their neighbor. They gossiped the gospel. And people heard it, and they saw it, and they were drawn. Time has almost gone, but there's one little image there that I have not commented on, and I need to comment on it. We've talked about the good news of God, the word of God, the wisdom of God, the glory of God. What's the last one? Well, you know, don't you? The Spirit of God. C.H. Spurgeon, often as he stepped into the pulpit, Sunday after Sunday, used to say to himself, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? You should. You need to. I doubt if you're a Christian if you don't. Do we believe in the Holy Spirit? Sometimes, dare I say, in Reformed circles and in Presbyterian circles, we have been a little bit too quiet about the Holy Spirit and how desperately we need the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, nothing is done for the kingdom of God. And we may not agree with our Pentecostal brothers and sisters or our charismatic brothers and sisters about various doctrinal issues. But surely we should thank God that they have reminded us of the need for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Oh, that God would put a desire in all of our hearts that we would go home today and even before we sit down to enjoy our Sunday lunch, that we would maybe go into our room and cry, Lord, something of that message has touched my heart. Lord, come and fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. That God might melt our frozen hearts and melt our frozen lips to speak of Jesus. How desperately we need all of these things. And today, if somebody when you go home asks, what was he preaching about today? You can remember those five images. And you'll be able to impress them as you bring the 5 points of the message today. That we need to open our mouths and bring the good news of God. We need to do it in a way that's faithful to the Word of God. We need to do it with the wisdom of God. We need to do it to the glory of God. And we need to do it in the power of the Spirit of God. And you say, yes, easier said than done. I understand that. But if there's a desire in your heart, then you'll be unable to take that first step. And who knows where that step will lead. Amen. Let's bow together for a moment of quietness and prayer. Lord, we pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would take all of these things and just impress them upon us, that we might be melted by the sweetness of your grace, and that we might have that holy desire to share something of where we have found bread with those who are looking for it. Lord, help us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.